bottom three dots. Rav Mido Seino, his gab shall be Aldo Seino. We've developed, sort of, pretty much developed our Midas, for good or for bad, when we were younger. Kasher Hasevel meets Bagger Baldom, as a person becomes a Bagrus, he matures. Berach Begil Shalosh Esri. Okay. It's around the age of 13. I think nowadays it's closer to the age of about a little bit older than that. He's already gathered certain tzias to him. So the poor element of chachma only develops later on than everything else. So he's the yelid, right? You finally mature and have a set hang with a seichel to process. And meanwhile, you already developed your attitudes and your personality and your midas. A lot of it's developed already. So he's behind the eight ball. So you're sort of forced to go back and think about your childhood. A person who could refresh in his memory his earlier ways that he dealt with things. As he developed his thinking process and how he finds himself in the world. What he was afraid of and what he liked. It gives him a tremendously boost to getting to know himself. It doesn't tell you what it told you. He will also come to realize. How much that childhood had an impact on him.
Okay. So if a person was very into candy when he was a kid, that means it's still going to be affecting him nowadays?
No, not necessarily. The person is very into candy when he was a child. That might play itself out when he's older in a different way. But the anhaga of focusing on getting the benefit as opposed to the accomplishment is very possible that's going to, you know, that's become in other words, the subconscious of the person is how the person functions. The subconscious is developed over a period of repetitions, time and time again. That's what our childhood is. You know, it's we're developing certain things. I mean, I was once talking with a from therapist, and he told me fascinating things. He says, you know, like, and he was talking actually an actual action. You know, a certain amount of any person who dealt with child with a lot of stress, he developed ways to escape. Part of childhood is being able to escape. You step into your imagination, right? He says the problem is now when he's an adult, he does still. This is the therapist talking. So he has certain ways to escape. When he feels totally overwhelmed in his mind, you know, he escapes from dealing with it. Instead of dealing with it, he escapes. So when you're younger, that's like called normal. Like, you know, when you're 40 years old, that's a problem. Right? The problem is the vast majority of people have these type of issues.
So is there an eitzo when a person's younger to mechanech him differently, or that's just the way it is and too bad?
You're asking from the angle of a parent, what can you do to help your child that's a hard question. That's a very hard question. The goal isn't so much the actions, is at least what you can be mechanic very much to the children is attitude towards themselves and their belief in their ability to do things. And the more you encourage your child to believe in himself and to be independent, those are things which you can put in there that you can do. You know, you develop the can do type of attitude, which will stand him a good stead when he gets older. He believes he can do it, as opposed to a child who, when he was younger, was given to believe that he can't, will have a very difficult time overcoming his self doubt about himself. Etc. Sukkah nun gimel man alf. Yesh mi mormon simus hashem. Some say Ashrei yod seno shlo bisha as ikdu seno. Ela chesinu mashi ma'is. Yesh mi mormon Ashrei ikdu seno she kippers yaldu seno. That's the Bali Shuba. Nifla. Nakuda Amerkozis with Simple's Message Shoe. Voice of Hapachino, Vashiko Bain's Kuba Zakai. A Yaldus was the.
Her arm is on her leg.
Simkala Yaldus Imloy Bisha.
Now.
Vakar Loy Busha Bialdus, Kashoyisat Tuna Kapor. Right? So either I look back at my child and say, wow, that was a good child. That was a bad child. I need to correct it. So the strength of this moment is being able to look back at the childhood. So neither of them just said, well, I never had a childhood. You know, I was born as a very mature individual. That's not an option. So to pretend like that, it's shata avon asenel nedecho alumenu lemer panecho. Okay, we placed our bearers in front of you. Alumenu, our days of youth, in the light of your face. Rashi alumenu neurenu, our childhood lemer panecho lemocha, in front of you lahabi behem, to look at them. Sabari is worth ma'abit binu reinu b'mor upon him. The Bershom takes a look at our childhood. We should ignore our childhood.
What does that passage mean? Shat avinus in front of you. Let us place our avinus in front of you.
We place our avinus in front of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Bershom, we are aware the Bershom is looking at our avinus. Alumeno, our childhood is being gazed upon by your more upon him. So we're hoping that the Bershom should look favorably upon our Alumeno. It's a more upon us. But the point is, Bershom is looking at Alumeno. So either our Alumeno was good, or alternatively it was difficult. And so the Bershom will use that as a way to vindicate us now as adults, that we have a difficulty we have to overcome. So that's a benefit for us, but that's clearly that we're using that as a yardstick of what to measure us. The person will use that as a yardstick to measure our what we've accomplished to the good, or to see how the difficulties we had, we're overcoming them, and it's difficult for us. And he's exculpating us for that reason. But that's clear that this is something which the Torah sees as being a foundation in a person. Now you do see there is a musig of the of Asher Zikduseno, which is Shekipres Yalduseno. Person can cleanse himself out from it, right? But that process doesn't make sense to start to understand where you're coming from. So it's not like we are bound till the kever. We're stuck with our problems from our youth, but it means that we're going to be working on them and overcoming them. And at some point in time, we'll be able to overcome it. But it's a process which needs to be can't be ignored.
Let's say we can't remember anymore how it used to be.
That's a fascinating question.
Maybe we still are the way we used to be.
Some of us haven't changed. I look at pictures. I think almost my memories are still pictures that I see.
That's so interesting. I have very clear recollections of a lot of my
I also remember. The truth is, about many things I did when I was a child.
there's, you know, there was a lot of it. You know, the interactions that you had with your parents, you know, had with other adults, what you thought about yourself, how you related to your friends, you know, what interested you, what didn't interest you, what was, you know, what motivated you, what didn't motivate you, what you were scared of. I mean, there's a tremendous amount that you can, you know, that you can really get a picture of who you were by looking back to your childhood. And then, once you have that, understand that, you start understanding a lot of the motivations that you have as an adult. Then you can start working on them, you know, say, okay, you know, I'm not stuck with this forever. I need to overcome this. But what's fascinating, it's a tremendous amount of work. You know, these things have been, you know, pushed into your subconscious thousands of times. And one of Yisrael's biggest kedushim in the world of Avodas of Musar was the idea of taking a Maamar Chazal and repeating it again and again and again and again with a negev, right? And like, why? You know, besides the Avodas of Musar, the actions which he would do, which again, very much stresses in Kelly Bay, is that the actions that you do have to be very small actions. They have to be things which, you know, you're not going to get any sort of like the spring back issue. You know, take a spring and you push it down too hard, it's going to jump back. You know. But it shouldn't, or he calls it, should be under the radar. That's his nusach, you know. The Yitzhar shouldn't notice it. It's a flight under the radar. It's a very small change. Yeah, the guy's going to change, you know. Okay, let him change, you know. Like, just get rid of some ice. Like, you know, the guy's making a major change. And the Yitzhar says, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, excuse me. You know, because I wanted to change, you know. So one time a day, I'm more careful how I say a bracha. What's the grace of ice? Is one time a day. The Yitzhar says, okay, I'll let him have his one time a day with the bracha, you know. But the reality is, that's a process of you are changing yourself. Hi, Tariq.
I have a question. Let's say love with your father, and you had some bad mother. What do you do?
So the point I'm saying is that we're not stuck in our childhood the rest of our life. So what Rabbi Silva was saying was that the way he would learn Musar was he would take a mimer which talks to you. Why does this mimer talk to you? Right? You know, your person will go to a shmooze. You can come around. So why does this mimer talk to you? As opposed to a mimer which, you know, you go to a shmooze. A certain shmooze, like, they push and they grab you. And certain shmooze, you know, they either turn you off or get you frustrated, or they don't talk to you. Right? Why do they do that? Because it means that something which is going on inside of you, you know. So you take that mimer and you review it hundreds of times. What you're trying to do is slowly but surely let it seep into the subconscious. You know, this mimer, which is talking about how you can do something, you can correct, you can do, you can address, you can be different. You know, you chazer it once, you chazer it twice, you chazer it 10 times, 100 times. That's what he would do. He would say them. So, you know, some cases the points are obvious. You know, they said the story that one of the Talmidim was with him somewhere, and he was going. Rasil was going to some place where he was going to be presented as, you know, given COVID. So the night beforehand, he spent the whole night chazing over. He chazed over that mimer of the Mishnah through the whole night. So if you think that a person says 180 words a minute, right? Sakina v'ataiva v'hakovid mitzian es ha'odom min ha'olam. That's 8 words, right? So you say it with intensity. So maybe you get it. You know, you'll get it in 10 times in a minute, right? So in an hour, right? You got it in 600 times. You said it the whole night. You said it 5,000 times. Right? So that's, you know, that was an obvious situation. He knows he's going to present it with COVID tomorrow. He doesn't want the COVID to affect him. So he was banging into his metzius, into his subconscious, that the most reviled thing in the world is this issue of running after COVID. Right? So he created a revulsion in himself to that. Like, I have no interest in it. It doesn't excite me. Right? So that's an obvious one, because there was a clear, that was in the conscious, we see what's going to happen. But what, part of what he says is that, you know, anytime you learn a mimer and you get come across a mimer chazal, which really feel speaks to you, the reason why it's speaking to you is because deep down in your subconscious, this is something that you're grappling with. Right. And that mimer says you should stop and you should keep saying that mimer with Islavis until you feel it no longer feels relevant to you, which can be for days. He said you keep learning that same mimer, you know, day after day after day until you lose the flavor in it. But that's what he's saying, you know, because these are the points which are really deep down inside of the person, and we don't necessarily think about them, you know. Now, a person who's accustomed to the world of learning Musar and avodas Musar is usually more aware of these issues. You know, that's part of the training. Then he says what happens is the paradox. The paradox is the following. So the more the person learns the Musar and he thinks about it, the more he becomes aware of all of the deep-rooted, deep-seated problems that he has. And he says he realizes he's a basket case. Right? So in his mind, he becomes defined as a really bad person. Right? The people around him realize that as he's doing that, he's getting better. So they see him getting better. So they define him as he's getting worse. And people around him see him getting better. So he still says that's the paradox. The revolver brings in Chelet Beis that's the paradox of learning Musar. You know, true of Anas and Musar is that you become more and more, you think less and less of yourself. You know, you see more and more, you know, as, you know, the guy who's a Tolar Morris walks, he says, I'm a nice guy. I really am a nice guy, you know. I help people, etc. You know, the guy learns Musar, such a lesson. He's helping because of motivations of COVID. He's helping people because of, you know, because he accepts to get reciprocity. He's helping people because he's embarrassed not to. He's helping people, so he really is a nice guy. You know, deep down, he has emotions where he thinks about, where, you know, I'm not really in the mood of doing this. I really prefer not to do this. I only do it with people that I'm comfortable with. You know, you can start. You know, you're taking apart, you know, all of your good deeds, and they don't look so geschmack anymore. You know, like. I grapple with this on a regular basis. You know, people think I'm a nice guy. You know, I always think I'm a nice guy. You know, so the phone rings and I look at the caller ID and it's him. And I put the thing back into the thing. And I don't want to talk to him. So what happened to the nice guy? The nice guy helps people. I'm not the one helping a person. I'd rather eat lunch. Really. The Morris is a mice with you know, by the Xer with the Rabbi Gamliel. When he goes looking, he was taken out by the Rabbi Malchus. So he asked, like, what I deserve this. He says, did you ever have a person who came and asked, knock on your door and asked for help? You tell them, wait, let me finish eating. He said, yeah, one time in my life it happened. I said, okay, that makes sense. Now I understand. Now I understand why I deserve to have this horrible, hideous death, because one time I made a human being wait. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I've done that more than once, you know. So all of a sudden, Mr. Nice Guy is no longer Mr. Nice Guy, you know. Right? You start learning the Muslim, you start realizing, you know, really. You start stripping away all these layers of this. I don't like being a nice, a mean guy, a bad guy. I'm not, you know, I don't like perceiving myself like that. So that was his point before, that, you know, that you, when you learn Muslim, you start seeing that. And the first thing to do is you close the book. Because I don't like looking in the mirror, because that's very scary. To look at myself like that, I like seeing myself. Love and thought he was the nicest guy in the world. So the answer is, right? When you go to the therapist, the first step you're going to realize is the problems. But that's the therapist's job is to tell you at the same time and convince you that you can change them. Right. So that's what learning Musar is. If you really deep down believe it, we can change them. We can correct it. So then I'd like to know what the problems are, because I can fix them. But if I believe I'm stuck with it, so then forget it. I'd just rather close the book. Right? Because, like, what do I need to know? I'd rather go to Kever thinking I'm a good guy than thinking I'm going to Kever thinking I'm a horrible guy, you know? I was having a conversation. I was talking about, I have working on physical therapy for my arm. I have problems with my arm. I don't know what I did, but I hurt it. I know it hurts. I don't know why it happened. So, and I hope the conversation came up. I was talking with the therapist, like, while I was doing my exercises, I was schmoozing. I said, you know, like, everybody perceives himself as a nice guy. She says, the assistant says, you know, she says, like, the guy, the guy who went into the school over there and killed who knows how many people also perceives himself as a good guy. Dale Carnegie has a fascinating observation in his book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. He says he went to visit Sing Sing. Sing Sing was the penitentiary out, the maximum security penitentiary in the West Coast, where they put the worst, Al Capone and his cover, that sort, Dillinger and these wonderful fellows. He says you have to know that every single guy over here had every single excuse in the book why he was a good guy. It wasn't his fault. They ran there out to get him. He had to protect himself. Everybody seems almost that's why, because we're scared to look, we can't live with ourselves being bad people. So what's the aim? So we're good people. We're not really good people. We are good people. So we're all good people, So I said, yeah, we're all good people, So you meet the guy in the street, he's about to mug you. He's a nice guy, If you're gonna find the list of how to speak to him as a nice guy, he might let you alone, You have to figure out very quickly at that point in time, because some of the guy's a little bit high, he's tripping out on stuff, it's a different ball game, it's a little hard to communicate to the guy, but assuming that you Revolver's point is very fascinating. We tend to discount our childhood. They say you can't do that. The childhood is a very big maftah to understand our fears, our concerns. And as parents, it's a very, 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 very important thing to remember. That the strength that you'll give a child in childhood will stand them in tremendous good stead. You also have to know that it was important to know that you get a second chance, mm-hmm. and a tenth chance, and a hundredth chance. I one time yelled at my kid, I messed up for the rest of his life. Chill out, lady. They're more resilient than you think they are. But over a period of time, yes, a person has to work on find positive ways to build up the positive in the child, and then that's. Okay. Let's hold it here.